You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us on the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
Great to see all of you again. Awesome to have you with us.
Yes. Please take a minute as you're logging in. Just say hi to us. Let us know where you're watching from. Also, take a moment to share, like and share our Marriage Minute content, just as you do with Evangelist Dan's, his episodes, to get the word out far and wide. We want everyone to have the complete package of
Amen.
Spiritual health, emotional health, physical health,
marital health,
relational health. We want it all for you, just mm-hmm. as God wants that for you.
Amen.
So what are we talking about today?
Yeah.
We titled this message, Why Sex is Good for Marriage and the Seven Purposes of Sex. So some of you out there
you
might be thinking, I did. And some of you out there might be thinking, well, there's only one reason we have sex. Well, no, there's not. So we're going to get into that. We've been talking for a couple of weeks about the chemical reactions that happen in the brain when you have sex with your spouse or with someone. So we are going to get into that today. And today we'll wrap up our kind of sex series, if you will.
Yeah, the sex talk series. We're going to wrap it up today.
So. For sure. So let's just jump in.
Sure.
God wants us to enjoy marriage and sex together. I think we've kind of solidified that over mm-hmm. the last couple weeks.
That's for sure.
Sex was made for marriage. Sex was made, as we will talk about, for to be fruitful and multiply. And sex is supposed to be good and be enjoyable in marriage, right?
Exactly.
And we talk about, and we have talked about in the last few weeks, of why it is so important to abstain from sex until marriage. And we believe here, not only at Revival Now, but in our life, biblically, that marriage is between a man and a woman, a female and a male.
Yep.
And so, you know, we don't just have sex for pleasure. We have sex, as we said last week, we have intimacy with one another to say, I remember.
Exactly.
To tell you that I remember.
Because it's a covenant.
It's a covenant. And what is a covenant, real quick? We talked about that last week. It means to cut. It means that there has to be blood. With covenant, there's blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Adam was cut, his side was cut to form Eve. Out of his rib. Eve wasn't made from the dust or the dirt. God could have surely done that, but he didn't. He cut Adam because there was a significance to that. There's a symbolism to that that carries on through today.
Well, and even God's commitment and covenant to us. So it's a representation of that. Not only does God have a covenant with his people, his church, he's also displaying that within the marital relationship. And so he's showing covenant everywhere in his word.
Covenant's huge. It's compare it to or contrast it, I guess, to a contractual agreement. So covenant versus a business agreement, a contract.
Yeah.
It's so much more deeper. It's more powerful. It's more significant. Covenant is what we enter into with our relationship with God. And it's mm-hmm. what because Jesus sacrificed, he shed his blood for us. And it's what we enter into a marital relationship. We enter into a covenant because there is, as we talked about last week, there is blood that is shed.
Absolutely.
So when we enter into a covenant, we're saying, I remember. When we have sex with our spouse, we say, I remember. I remember mm-hmm. that I vowed before God to honor you, to cherish you, to love you all the mm-hmm. days of my life. And that means to not withhold myself sexually or physically from my husband. It just means I remember we are bonded together. And every time we have sex, we are bonded chemically, emotionally, and physically in every aspect of
in
the word.
In every way. So why is sex good for marriage? I think that's what we want to, one of the first things we want to talk about before we get into some of the purposes. But so research is behind this. So not only is God kind of laying this out in his word, you know, research scientists have conducted studies and with hundreds of thousands of people and have confirmed these very things mm-hmm. on actually how God created us and how he designed us to be.
Yeah.
And so every time...
So if you don't want to take the word of God as the and Aaron Burr, the final authority. Yeah. There's scientific backup too.
Yeah, it's very nice to have scientific evidence to kind of prove the very thing that God has known all along and how he created us to be
that
and to function.
That just blows my mind.
I know.
You know,
every time I think
about
it.
Before all this scientific stuff came about, you know, God, from the beginning, Adam and Eve, he created, even before that, he created all of that.
Absolutely. So every time, you know, you and I or a couple has sex, there are powerful chemicals and hormones and feelings that are being released
Absolutely.
Into our body.
Absolutely. We've been talking about
this. Into our minds.
And I know you guys know that out there because you feel it. You feel it, not just with the release, with the orgasm or whatever, but you feel it before, you feel it during, you feel it after.
Well, this the leading up, but we're going to read some scripture just number one from the Bible that helps you to understand that God does, he created sex and he wants us to enjoy that. It was something he created for his children. And so there's a book in the Bible that we're going to read some passages out of that's just going to help you understand that. Some romantic language, some sensual language. So it's going to be not racy, but it's going to be a little bit, you know, I hope we can keep our...
But first, we can. But first, we might have to cut short. Cut it short. Cut it, Brenda. Just kidding.
That could happen.
But anyway.
So, hey, here's a couple. So, anyway, back to the whole research and science. I started, you know, going off the edge here a little bit. But anyway, so there's some hormones that get released, some chemicals that are getting released in
there
our body. So
there are things that physically happen in the brain when you connect with someone during sex.
Yeah, so the first hormone that gets released is called prolactin. You can look this stuff, do a Google search on the internet.
Simple Google search.
And you'll find it yourself. So, but what does prolactin do? So when you have sex, you're engaged in sex, you have orgasm, this is a chemical that gets released, hormone that gets released into your body, and it causes relaxation. So prolactin causes relaxation, it reduces stress, and it also induces sleep. So now I have and all the guys out there, we have a reason why there's medically proven fact. This is why men fall asleep after sex. So, you know, no longer can you blame me why
get out of jail
exactly.
free card.
It's my get out of jail free card and say, hey, look, honey, it's prolactin. Sorry. It happens.
They do say, studies say it does happen with women, but it is more predominantly, exhibited and seen in men.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. For sure.
So before sex, ladies, you eat some turkey and because it's got that chemical in it, tryptophan, it makes you sleepy, right? So you do that. I'll take the prolactin and then we're good.
We'll have a nap afterwards.
We'll both fall asleep together. So that's the first one. The other thing, lastly, and so guys out there, I did you a big favor by telling you that right now. So you've got an excuse. But lastly, it reduces anxiety and fear. So this is this is a very powerful hormone chemical that gets released. You know, we're engaged in having sex with each other. The next one is vasopressin. Say that 10 times. Vasopressin. It's released after sex and causes us to bond and have feelings of commitment, long-term commitment, which is pretty amazing. I mean, I'm in awe of how God.
Just a complexity.
Yeah, I'm in awe of God. I mean, not that this relates at all, but I'm reminded of when we were down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee in the USA, and we went to this aquarium, and I saw all of these different fish of all types and shapes and colors, and I was just in awe of God. Mm-hmm. And so, not that it's exactly the same, but when I think about the human body and how God created our human body, it's just amazing the intricacies and the work that he's done to make us the way we are and who we are. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. So science has proven that vasopressin actually causes two brains to connect.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about could be where the soul tie comes into.
Yeah. And yes. And along that line, when vasopressin is actually released, after it happens, it makes you and I not attractive to the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And there's been studies that have done that. And basically the study is this. So they show
we actually see the opposite sex as less attractive. Like I can see another man standing right beside you that could be attractive, but to me, I don't. It's just you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's done for a reason, people. It's done for a reason.
So here's basically, you know, in summary, the study that was done. So they showed pictures of the opposite sex to a lady and opposite for a man, and before they had sex with each other. Mm-hmm. And the lady and the man found the opposite sex attractive. Mm-hmm. And then after sex, they showed them
the picture of the respective opposite.
Opposite sex, yeah. Yes. And then after sex, that couple had sex. And then they showed them the same pictures again, and they weren't attractive to them anymore. No. So this is a powerful hormone and chemical that is being released in our body to actually protect our marriage and to draw us together and resist the temptation.
Get that in your spirit, guys.
Yeah, and to resist the temptation of actually finding someone else attractive, which is, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but just to say this, that's why it's important that you cannot withhold yourselves from each other. Mm-hmm. Even though you may be in argument, maybe you're in disagreement, you can't weaponize your body.
Right.
There's powerful things that keep you connected that are being released during sex that you need to maintain as a couple.
That's right.
A couple of them.
The next hormone that gets released, it's called the cuddle hormone. It is oxytocin, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
It's oxytocin or oxytocin. I've heard it before.
Either way. Yeah.
It gets released during orgasm. It's the same hormone that gets released during childbirth.
Yeah.
So that's the hormone that bonds you, makes the mom want to pull the baby in and to nurture and to bond with the baby. Don't sexualize that. It's just, it's the same
hormone. But can I add one other thing to that with the baby and the mom?
Yeah.
So that when the baby's actually born, that hormone, oxytocin, is released into the baby and to the mom at the same time.
Yeah.
So then that way the baby is bonding to the mother and vice versa, the mother to the child. Again, the amazing creation of us.
We're not even doing it justice.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, look this stuff up for yourself.
To explain
how powerful
our God is.
We are not the final authority on, we're not scientists. We're not, all we know is that it happens. It works.
Well, and we're citing scientific studies.
And we're citing scientific studies.
Absolutely.
So oxytocin deepens feelings of trust and attachment after you have sex with your husband or your wife. So that is a very powerful, you know, if you want to liken this to when I was pulling up on the internet, like, I mean, quick internet search, you know, what chemicals are released in the brain during sex or during sexual intercourse or whatever. It's more than really just these four, but there's a list of them that get released. Some of them say it's the same feeling that you get when you eat certain foods. And it's the same release that you get when you do drugs. Mm-hmm. And so it's powerful.
Yeah. Well, that's your next one.
Yes. So it's dopamine. All of them in what I'm saying. But the next one, the last one we want to talk about, the hormone that gets released is dopamine. It promotes feelings of desire, euphoria, satisfaction, and reward. Which is the same one. That's the one, I was talking about with food and drugs. And so these are very, very powerful hormones, very, very powerful things that God created within us to connect us for a reason, to connect us sexually to the spouse, to the person that we marry. and just think about it, guys. You know, so when we have sex and we are together and orgasm happens and all of these chemicals get released, you know, and we are connected to one another, that happens. It doesn't happen just the first time we're together.
It happens every single time you're together.
And so every single person, I'm talking to those out there that are having sex out of marriage and maybe having multiple partners. Number one, please stop do that. You're hurting yourself. But every time you're connecting to each person and it is crushing your spirit. It is crushing your spirit. And
it makes you difficult. It makes it difficult. Not that it can't be overcome, because God will overcome everything and anything, when you put it in his hands, but it makes it difficult you to connect to that person. because your spirit is been connected physically and spiritually. You've been connected to that other person or persons. And so that's why you have this wondering inside of you. But when you connect and don't do that until you're married, then now you're connected to this person for life. And yes. I'm making the assumption that, you know, yes, you're going to work through challenges and difficulties in your marriage, and you're going to stay together, and you're going to realize that
there will be challenges and difficulties.
Marriage is a covenant, it's a commitment till death do us part. So we're going to work through those issues. But beyond that, we won't allow infidelity, extramarital affairs to get in the way. One, because God designed it such a way that we're going to stay together if we'll just heed His word and follow that.
And it is created for such a purpose that my heart is His and His heart is mine. Like, I don't desire anybody else. It's just not anything that is on, thankfully, because we make sure that we're taking care of business, right? So God created sex between a married couple to bond us together and to create very powerful feelings of attachment, bonding, and commitment to one another.
Yeah. So this is basically what research has proven. All they're doing is proving proved what God has already done anyway.
Exactly.
And to actually, because the way we do things with our marriage and life is from a biblical way and the way God had designed it to be at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so when we follow that, we're following God's best for our life and our marriage. Right. When we don't do that, we're opening ourselves up to more pain, more difficulty, more challenges. It's not that God doesn't want you to have fun. He absolutely wants you to have fun. And so this is kind of leads into where we go to read some of these passages in the Bible. So we're going to be in the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs, depending on your translation that you read. And this is just some very powerful, poetic, romantic language that is being conveyed between a lover and to two lovers being married and looking forward to their day of consummation of their marriage and speaks of the bride and things like that. So this is from Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, and I'm going to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, where this is the man directing his thoughts toward his wife. He says, "You are beautiful, my darling, beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair falls in waves like a flock of goats." Well, that's not super romantic. But anyway, flock of goats winding down the slopes of Gilead. "Your teeth are as white as sheep, recently shorn and freshly washed. Your smile is flawless, each tooth matched with its twin. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates behind your veil. Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled with the shields of 1,000 heroes. Your breasts are like two fawns, twin fawns of a gazelle grazing among the lilies. Before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee, I will hurry to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, beautiful in every way. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Come down from the mount. Come down from Mount Amana, from the peaks of Senir and Hermon, where the lions have their dens and leopards live among the hills. You have captured my heart, my treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes, with a single jewel of your necklace. Your love delights me, my treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine, your perfume more fragrant than spices. Your lips are as sweet as nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. Your clothes are scented like the cedars of Lebanon. You are my private garden, my treasure, my bride, a secluded spring, a hidden fountain. Your thighs shelter a paradise of pomegranates with rare spices, henna with nard and saffron, fragrant calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, and every other lovely spice. You are a garden fountain, a well of fresh water streaming down from Lebanon's mountains." So that's pretty descriptive, and just that romantic, poetic language of how this husband feels toward his bride. Mm-hmm. Just very powerful language. Mm-hmm. But if you read this whole book, and Donna's going to read one from the bride to her husband, And you're going to hear the same type of language, but it's very poetic. It's very romantic. It's very sensual. And you're going to find that throughout this entire book, the Song of Songs. So anyway, would you go ahead and read that?
So I'm in Song of Songs chapter 5, a wife to her husband. She considers him her lover, which I consider you my lover, starting in chapter 10 through 16. So my lover is dark and dazzling, better than 10,000 others. His head is finest gold. His wavy hair is black as a raven. His eyes sparkle like doves beside springs of water. They are set like jewels washed in milk. His cheeks are like gardens of spices giving off fragrance. His lips are like lilies perfumed with myrrh. His arms are like the rounded bars of gold set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory glowing with lapis lazuli. His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately, like the noble cedars of Lebanon. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is desirable in every way. Such, O women of Jerusalem, is my lover, my friend.
So again, it's very powerful language in this whole book. And so I would encourage you to read that. And the reason why I would encourage you to read that is God's not ashamed of sex.
Exactly.
And
it's there in his word.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to be ashamed of it.
That's right.
And so if God created it, which he did, he doesn't want us to be ashamed. Now, what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, you know, when they fell and gave in to sin and temptation, that's when the devil came in and basically said, you know, you're naked and now you're afraid. Mm-hmm. Before they were naked and unafraid, right?
That's right.
And so now they became naked and afraid. So this is the first attack upon human sexuality is when the devil did this in the garden to Adam and Eve. And so he wants us to be ashamed of that.
That's when shame and guilt entered in.
We don't need to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. God's not ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. He wants us to enjoy it. And God never uses shame or fear.
Mm-mm. Never.
The devil does.
If you're feeling guilt or shame or fear, that's not of God.
Yeah. And so God created sex and marriage. And so, you know, in the very beginning, he said it was very good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he's never changed his mind.
He's ever. The same yesterday, today, and forever.
God's not, he's not grossed out by sex.
No. Nope. He created it. He created intimacy. He created that connection for people.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you realize God's watching you have sex.
He is. He doesn't just close his eyes.
He doesn't close his eyes. I hope you realize that. I mean, just think about that for a minute. He's watching. You know, he can even see in the dark.
Yes, he can.
Ladies, he can even see through flannel nightgowns. I mean, so come on. It means you're not hiding anything from God.
Right,
so don't be ashamed of human sexuality. That's what the devil wants to bring upon your life.
That's right.
But that's not what God intended from the very beginning. Because in the beginning, Adam and Eve were not ashamed.
That's right.
And they weren't afraid.
That's right.
But now they are. And that obviously because we're born into that, into this world under the physical limitations of Adam and Eve, we don't have to, in Christ Jesus, fall prey to that same lie that the devil put upon them. Mm-hmm. Because we're free.
I think it's important to understand that when we say God watches you have sex, he watches you be intimate with your spouse. I think that's a very important thing for people to remember, because we want the marriage bed. The Bible says the marriage bed should be pure and holy. Mm-hmm. And so when I have a thought that my Father in heaven sees everything that I do, not just sex, but he sees everything that I do, I want to please him, right? I want I don't want to bring in perverseness. I don't want to bring in sin into my marriage, number one, into my life, period, but especially into the bedroom. So when we talk about God is watching you have sex, it's not in a pornographic or perverse way.
No.
Just rebuke Satan right now.
And that's the world's view.
Because that's the world's view. That's just sick.
And that's Satan.
But what it does is it helps us to understand what God allows or doesn't allow in the marriage bed. It helps us to keep sin out and to keep perverseness and pornography and all of that crap out and to keep the marriage bed holy and pure.
Let me add something to that. It's sure. really good. Really good. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
So I've mentioned this book, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. It's not a how-to book. It doesn't tell you the right and wrong of what. It talks about these sensual, intimate feelings that, you know, lovers have toward one another. Exactly. Yeah, it's absolutely okay. Exactly. But what Donna is sharing, Pastor Donna is sharing is that you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And so when you're getting this check in your spirit about this seems like a borderline, we're heading in a bad direction. We're heading into more of a perverse sexual encounter here. Listen to the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. Let that be your guide. He is your guide. He's your teacher. He's your counselor. Yes, we have the Word of God, but it doesn't say in His Word everything that's allowable or permissible or not allowable. But follow His Spirit. Let Him lead you into the path of righteousness when it comes to the marriage bed.
Amen.
And He'll do that.
Yes, He will.
Because
He will. He's done it for us.
He wants to guide you in that. He knows your heart. And if you're seeking after Him and you want to do things that please Him, He'll give you the guidance on what to do and what not to do.
He will. Amen. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So why did God create sex to begin with?
Yeah.
What is the purpose for crying out loud?
Right.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, I did.
Because we're about to tell you.
I wish you would tell me.
So in our research and studies, we've uncovered seven purposes of sex.
Yeah.
We're going to go through those right now. We'll finish things up. And we'll let you be on your way. The first one, obviously, it's kind of a duh thing for reproduction. The Bible says in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
Kids are not a burden. They are a blessing. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again. Kids are not a burden. They are a blessing. Many, many kids. And so number one purpose is reproduction.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God, you know, trusted Abraham because he was going to have many descendants, right? But God knew that Abraham was going to teach his children to produce a family in the line of faith and of righteousness. And so that's exactly what reproduction does. As Christians, as believers, we need to reproduce. We don't need to be afraid to reproduce and have children. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see the challenges in our world today. But as Christians and believers, we cannot be afraid. We are to be fruitful, and we are to multiply, and we are to occupy until Jesus returns.
That's right.
And Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. And we, as all people, as believers, don't need to be afraid to have children.
That's good.
You don't have to have 10 children, but don't limit it to none or one or whatever because of climate change or all these other issues that are getting thrown at us.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't allow that to prevent you from having children. Be fruitful and multiply and raise your children in the Lord.
That's right.
Yes, raise your children in the Lord and multiply the kingdom upon the earth. That's what we're doing.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So the first purpose is reproduction. Second is for comfort. We talked about that with all of the chemicals and everything that get released, hormones and chemicals are released during and after sex. They bring comfort. They bring connection. They bring you together with your spouse.
So if you're dealing with fear and you're dealing with anxiety,
you need to have more sex.
So
the third purpose, it could help. Obviously, here's another dough. It's sensual enjoyment and pleasure. God wants us to experience each other in a way that's sensual and pleasing and enjoyable.
Absolutely.
He wants that for you.
He does.
He wants that so badly for you and for your marriage. You know, because without that, without sex, without fun in your marriage, without having fun together in your marriage, it's just a business contract. It's a business relationship.
Right.
And what fun
is
that?
It's all transactional.
That is transactional.
Right.
Purpose number four, it's a self-esteem booster. It's a confidence booster.
Right.
This is, ladies, you know, I think I alluded to this a couple weeks ago. You know, if you keep rejecting your spouse, he's approaching you to be intimate together, and you keep rejecting and rejecting, what do you think is going to happen to his self-esteem? Put yourself in his position. You know, you keep rejecting me every time, you know, that I'm going to take a hit to my self-esteem. But understand this, every time, and now it doesn't mean that every time your spouse comes to you and wants to have sex that you do, you know, you have to communicate, you have to talk about it. Like the Bible says, we don't withhold ourselves, right? But what happens when you say, yeah, let's go, you know, or what happens when you pursue your husband, you're the one that initiates. That is a huge confidence booster for you. And it's a huge self-esteem mm-hmm. booster. So ladies, you are really responsible for your husband's self-esteem in this area.
And, man, and it's the same for men. I mean, yeah. we have to think about it from that perspective as well, because, you know, what did we do when we first started dating? We pursued. I pursued you.
Absolutely.
You pursued me.
Absolutely.
And I need to do the very things that I did at the very beginning of our relationship. I need to pursue. And if I don't pursue you, that's going to take a hit to your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And so it's absolutely. Both, right? It doesn't have to be just one way. I mean, the husband shouldn't be the only one pursuing. We should be doing that. But the wife should also pursue the husband. Mm-hmm. And that'll mm-hmm. help both of our self-esteems.
It lets, yeah? when I pursue him and he pursues me, it lets me know that he's still attracted to me, that he still wants me physically, that he still finds me attractive and irresistible, and vice versa.
Exactly.
And that is a huge self-esteem and confidence booster.
It is.
It's just amazing what that'll do. You walk a little taller, your head's held a little higher. There's somebody out there that thinks I'm all that and a bag of chips, and it's just something that just helps your countenance.
It does. It lifts your spirit.
It does.
When you know that somebody's really pursuing you and after you and wants to be with you in an intimate way.
Amen.
So bonding, we talked about that specifically.
Your wife, more specifically.
I'm sorry?
Your wife, more specifically.
Oh.
You said someone, when someone pursues you in that way.
I'm sorry.
Let's just say
yes,
your
my wife.
Or your
Let me
husband.
Be clear, my wife. So bonding, we talked about that with the yeah. hormones, right? Mm-hmm. You did a great job.
Yep, thank you.
We did a great job breaking that down. But again, physically, spiritually, chemically, we're bonded
mm-hmm. in a
very powerful way. Yes, that's how God yes. designed us to be. And he did that to protect the marriage.
Amen.
And for us to have fun, as we've already talked
Amen.
About. So the sixth one is intimate knowledge. So Adam knew Eve, mm-hmm. and they had a child together, right? So when you have sex with someone, you know them on a level that you don't know everybody else, obviously.
I mean, just think about it. Nor do I want to know anybody else on that level.
Exactly. So, you know, there is this intimate knowledge that takes place when you've had sex with someone. Mm-hmm. You don't get that with everybody mm-hmm. else, right? It's not supposed to be with everybody
That's
else.
Right.
It's supposed to be with your marriage partner for life. Let me reiterate that. It's your marriage partner for life. It's a commitment. It's a covenant you've entered into.
If I could share,
please.
You know, when we come together sexually and we intimately know someone, you know, I have a knowledge of him, you know, like we're talking about, we always go back to the chemicals that are released because it's so huge, mm-hmm. you know, you're more vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you
yes.
know, after you have sex.
You
and
are.
So intimate knowledge is not only that, it's the things that you share afterwards. It's the things that you share mm-hmm. in between. It's the things that it brings you closer together to where you're not, it's not just I do have an intimate knowledge of him physically, but it's so much more than that. I've got an intimate knowledge of him spiritually. I have an intimate knowledge of him mentally. I have an intimate knowledge of him physically, obviously.
Right.
And so it's so many things.
Yeah.
So many things wrapped
and
up.
And depending on whose night it is, if it's your night, then there's a lot of talking.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not your typical female, but maybe.
Okay. So there can be communication either before or after.
Right,
and
right.
so men tend to open up a little bit more mm-hmm. When you are in that intimate place, especially after sex. So
yeah,
this knowing becomes much deeper,
yeah.
you know, and the
yeah,
intimate knowledge
absolutely.
Takes place. So
absolutely.
The last one. For the seven purposes of sex is protection from outside temptation. So we talked about that hormone vasopressin and what it actually does and what that study actually proved is that after you've had sex with your spouse, your view of the opposite sex, they're not attractive to you
mm-hmm,
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a protection that takes place from outside temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to remember, and we've talked about this probably in the last few episodes, is what 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3-5 talk about, is that we don't own our own bodies anymore,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I've basically said, look, this is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. You're saying the same thing to
yep.
me. You're saying, this is yours.
That's
and
right.
so now we cannot withhold our bodies, because when we do that, it brings in temptation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We can't use our bodies to punish one another. That's not the right thing to do. It's mm-hmm. not. Here's the other thing. I mean, people might have some concern because we don't know everybody's situation out there, right? But it's not to give yourself to someone from a servant's viewpoint, right? A servant's heart is not a license for someone to abuse you.
That's right.
We're not saying that. Mm-mm. So it's not like this
don't hear that from what we're saying. When we say, I don't have a right to withhold my body from my husband, that doesn't mean that he's coming in, you know, and lording over me and demanding that we have sex. That is not what we're talking about.
And I understand people get into crisis in their relationships, and you know, there needs to be some, you know, mitigation. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some mm-hmm. counseling support. And we urge you that if you're in that place, if you're in a place of crisis, we encourage you to get with a pastor, a Christian counselor to help you with some of those troubles.
Amen.
But as you're working through that, you're going to have to set up a schedule or a routine until you get to the place of healing and whatever those areas of struggle are, so that you don't allow temptation to come in. Because that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, look, you can't withhold from one another because temptation is going to creep in. Mm-hmm. There are these just natural sexual needs that each of us have that need to be fulfilled.
Sometimes, you know, when you're arguing with each other, if you guys would just surrender and humble yourself and go and be intimate together, that just kind of calms
a new
things
thought.
Down. I mean, really, seriously.
I mean, that's really good.
It's the last thing you want to do, but it's probably the best thing you could ever do.
Because it relieves stress.
It relieves stress. It reprioritizes. It makes things not so, the argument not so important, if you will, because it re-centers your marriage and it helps you to understand, even if it's the last thing that you want to do. That's an example of, I'm humbling myself and I'm having a servant's heart towards you, even though the last thing that in my flesh I want to do is be intimate. It's probably the best thing that we could do for one another and for the situation at hand. Anyway,
I think to sum up this final point, and you know, before we let you guys go and have Donna pray for everyone out there today, just take this as an analogy of our bodies. So our bodies are basically stores, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And when we got married, we swore fidelity to one another, right? That I'm only going to shop at your store, and you're only going to shop.
My store is always open.
Right. And so if our store isn't open, if your store isn't open, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a difficult position. And so we have to... If you're going to have, back to our first lesson, if you're going to have great sex and you're going to have fulfillment in your marriage in this area, the way to do that is to have a servant's heart, a servant's spirit. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that you're going to see this thing through.
Amen.
And you're going to have to, you made a great point. We have to lay down pride and arrogance. And yes, we have to work through differences and challenges in our marriages. I'm not saying that those aren't there and they aren't real. They are. But you cannot, during those times, you cannot withhold yourself and punish one another to get, to manipulate, mm-hmm. to get what you want. That's not a mature and emotionally mm-hmm. healthy way to approach conflict at all.
That's right.
And so you cannot use that. So when you come at it, like you said before, with a servant's heart and a servant spirit and willing to serve, not to be abused, but to meet and fulfill the sexual needs that are just there. That's how God created us to be. Then you're serving with a servant's heart, knowing, and you have a plan, and you're working on the challenges or issues in your marriage.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we know we've been through these challenges. We've been through challenges in our marriage, and we had to come through difficult times, but we didn't withhold ourselves from one another, even during those times. It helped us to stay together, which that was a new thought for me that
too.
You just brought up, like, hey, if you're having an argument, why don't you just set pride aside, set like I need to be right aside, and let's go have sex.
Exactly.
let's
Do you
want to
have sex? No, but I will.
But I will. Anyway, would
let
you
those,
mind?
Let those chemicals get released.
Absolutely.
In that time.
So
and, allow the Lord to minister to you.
Amen.
That way.
Why don't you pray for everybody out there
today? This way.
Yeah, that's better. Over and under.
All right. Lord, I just thank you for all of those listening. I thank you for the opportunity to just touch people out there that are listening to this broadcast, whether it's live or rerun, God, on demand. I just ask, Lord, that your spirit of humility, God, would just envelop each and every person. I pray, Lord, for wives to have hearts for their husbands and husbands to have hearts for their wives. I pray, God, for just a surrendering for everyone out there listening, even though, God, that I know that it's hard to hear some of the things that we are saying, Lord, but I just ask you to just help them to hear our heart. Help them to understand that when surrender happens, when humility is at play, when you lay all the things at the foot of the cross, Lord, that you are able to step in and you are able to do miracle signs and wonders in their marriage, God. So draw husbands to their wives, draw wives to their husbands, God, and make their connection powerful. Help them to understand just the power that lies within their marriage and help them to create a legacy, God, of humility, of surrender, of a servant's heart towards one another, towards their family, towards their kids and others, God. So I thank you, Lord, for everyone out there. Touch them, help them to see what we're trying to convey here, Lord. And first and foremost, I pray, Lord, that if anybody is listening and they don't know you, that they would surrender their lives first and foremost to you, God. To you, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks we for will watching. Catch you next week.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.